Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Forget the cigars, the coffee, the bacon and eggs, and especially those blueberry pancakes. Get me a couple glasses wherever they're at.
Get me a couple glasses,
and I'll make you breakfast right now.
Howard Simon.
I got something that'll keep you going all day long, Daddy. Don't worry about a thing, brother. Just don't worry about it.
You have got to be kidding me.
No carbs, no fat, nothing but pure protein, bro. You got to get your head right.
Jeremy White.
Not raw, eh?
Oh, that's
come on.
This is the only way to go.
Howard Simon.
You're in strict training. We gotta watch your diet. We gotta make sure you don't get overloaded with all those carbohydrates, and especially that nasty cigar I saw you smoking. The best protein you can get. We're gonna do this four times a day. Just watch how easy it goes down, and then you're next, brother. This is how we start the day. Every morning and every 2 hours, we do the same thing.
Oh, no.
There's not a better way to go. Come on.
Howard Simon.
You're already late. I was here at 5 in the morning, man. You're sitting there sucking on a cigar and drinking that coffee. Do it, man. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm ready. It is a Monday morning. Thanks for hanging out.
It's Flag Day. Happy Flag Day.
Yeah, Rob Lucas wanted to know why we're working today. He wanted to know if, like, shouldn't Flag Day be a company holiday and we should all be off? I didn't have an answer for him other than say we're all dedicated at our trade.
How long has Flag Day been around?
Let's see. I'm going to go 1910.
I'd say a little later, probably around 1957.
Howard wins. It was 1916.
All right.
Don't ask how.
Good for you, Howard.
Don't ask how I knew that. I'd rather get into it.
You could tell us
he
who the president
was. He was around for the first coverage of Flag Day ever.
I remember marching in the parade that day. My parents got me one of the little mini flags. I put on a little Yankee Doodle hat. You know, Yankee Doodle. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
You know who the president was that day, though.
Come on. Who you think you're dealing with?
You. That's why I know. I know you know.
Come up with something a little bit tougher, huh? Woodrow Wilson, former governor of New Jersey and president of Princeton. Come on.
I know. 1916, Woodrow Wilson issues the proclamation establishing June 14th as Flag Day. And
so interesting story about Woodrow Wilson, by the way.
Okay.
So his first term is in 1912. When he goes for re-election in 1916, he's going up against a guy by the name of Charles Evans Hughes. Now, back then, you know, technology was a little bit limited in terms of election results. He goes to bed thinking he lost. Hughes goes to bed thinking he wins. He wakes up in the morning, expects to be president, and someone knocks on the door and says, "You lost."
Wow.
The late results came in overnight while the guys were sleeping, and by the morning, Wilson realized he won.
It was the mail-in ballots, huh?
Yeah, well, right, it was the Pony Express bringing the results in from California, and the horses had to get water, so, you know.
Well, it was a proclamation from Wilson in 1916. It wasn't until 1949 it was established as an act of Congress for National Flag Day.
Ah!
So you were both kind of close.
Right? So here's a question. In 1916, when they first came up with Flag Day, how many stars were on the flag? How many states were in the union, or in the country in 1916?
Well, hold on. I've got a picture of a poster for Flag Day in
1916. Well, I want you to guess without actually finding the answer first, because I think I know the answer. I think.
I'm not sure about 1916, but I think what they're doing actually is, again, it goes back to commemorate the flag, which was adopted in 1777, a resolution of the Second Continental Congress that had 13 stars. So the one that they were commemorating had 13 stars. In 1916, how many did it have?
Yeah.
I think it had 48.
44.
My guess would have been 48. Okay. I think we had everybody but Alaska and Hawaii at that point.
Yeah, at that point,
I think.
Should have been.
Almost positive. But I probably should check it, but, you know, I have the slowest computer, so I'm not going to check it. By the time I check it, we could have 54 states.
I think
that's right. I think, like, Arizona. I don't know what would have been the
1912 were Arizona and New Mexico.
There you go.
So
those were 47 and 48. Yeah.
Yep, there you go.
So, kids, you don't even have to go to school. Just listen to this program, and it's like homeschool.
See, this is why we can't be off on a day like today, because just in case kids are off, they turn us on, and they still do some learning.
Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. Why do we have Flag Day?
The kids are off today.
No, they're still in school. Where are we? June 14th?
They better be still in school.
They're still in school, right? Shouldn't they be about a week away from summer vacation, I would think?
I mean, in school is quite a loose term, depending on which district and who's doing what and ages and everything.
Homeschooled.
So.
In school, whatever. Yeah, I think they're still a week away. All right.
So there you go.
So we've got a lot of stuff to get to. We have Bills mini camp this week, the mandatory mini camp. We got some hockey to get to. Of course, the playoffs continuing.
They didn't cancel mini camp, huh?
No. As far as I know, it starts tomorrow. I think they would have announced it already if they decided to scrap the thing. So that's still going on. The Jays and the Yankees begin their series tomorrow. The Yanks coming to town with some serious problems, while the Jays just scored 4,000 runs in Boston over the weekend. And, you know, we might find like maybe 10, 15 seconds in the show at some point this morning to talk about Jacob DeGrom. But we'll see. We'll see if we can carve out a few seconds for that. Now, I know you wanted to mention this too. I was not watching Finland-Denmark. Really the scary story. I saw a video clip once. I really don't need to see it again. But I know I was on Twitter. What would it have been, Saturday morning, Jeremy? Or when was the game? It was Saturday morning, right?
Yes, Saturday morning.
I was on Twitter, and all of a sudden, people are tweeting about scary moment, awful, something terrible had happened during the soccer game between Finland and Denmark, and then people are praying for Christian Eriksen and all this. I had no idea what happened. I gradually got it from following Twitter and later saw a small clip. I was debating actually whether I wanted to watch the clip of the player collapsing. And if you're not, well, Jeremy, you can pick it up, I guess, but he's knock on wood, he's doing okay.
Yes.
They had to do CPR on the field. Like he had actually, the heart stopped beating and they
brought him back to life. They got him back on the defibrillator paddles the first time they used those.
Man, oh man.
The story I'm reading from defector.com's Lauren Thiessen, that, the update from the Denmark doctor was that they used the phrase heart massage. There was a heart massage and then defibrillators, and that when they got to him, he was breathing, but that deteriorated quickly.
Wow.
But the doctor, Denmark's team doctor, Martin Bosen, confirmed that he says, we got him back after one defib.
Mm.
That's quite fast. How close were we? I don't know. So to be following it live when it happened, I was trying to think of all the different times anything like this has happened.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't look this up. Is it Yuri Slager? Was there a Red Wings player?
Yuri Fisher.
On the bench.
Yuri Fisher.
Right? Didn't he have a problem on the bench?
Richard Peverly did as well.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Right.
He's the Thrashers player, Peverly, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but he was with the Stars at the time.
Okay.
Fisher was with the Red Wings.
That's right. Okay.
But I remember him. That's right. Peverly, I remember with the Thrashers. You're right. It was.
Yeah, and like, you know, you've got every once in a while something like this happens. I don't ever remember it happening in real time like that. And by real time, I mean you're watching the game and all of this is happening and happening and happening. And the length of time that passed, if you're following either on the television or on Twitter, you know, on social media, which is keeping you up to the minute, it was a long time before you feel like you got any sort of movement. And, you know, following along, I thought he was gone.
Yeah.
It was so. There was so much time that had passed that I thought, well, I don't know how long you can make it if you don't get brought back right away, or if, again, like I also don't know how it's supposed to look when you are brought back from that, and his teammates around him, and they're holding sheets up and trying to give, you know, a modicum of privacy. They're showing his wife on the television. There's a lot of, you know, issues that have been brought up with that about the broadcast and what to do in that moment. You know, you cut away from a streaker. Everybody cuts away from a streaker.
Typically, any fan running on a field, you're done. We don't.
You cut away from that, no questions asked, and you're out of there. You can't show that, which is something we'd all maybe like to see because it's kind of funny. But then, you know, this guy's potential death. His life is on the line, and it's right there for you. It is just it was really tough to watch. And, you know, like later throughout the day, we were out for a hike on Saturday morning when this was all happening and following along. And later in the day became like a telling everybody that I would have talked to about it before. Like, oh, by the way, he's all right. He made it. You know, I think we were so convinced that he was gone that it was just kind of like a, wow, that really happened.
Yeah, I think even though I had seen it was going on, I didn't turn on the television because I didn't want to actually see if they were. I don't even know if they. I assume they. Well, I don't know how quickly they cut away from the stadium. By the time I actually did turn on ESPN, they were in the studio and the commentators were talking about it in the studio. But I knew, based on the tweets I had read from the people who were watching the telecast, that it's, as I said, I knew someone was going to put the clip on Twitter, and I wasn't really sure if I really wanted to see it. In my head, I'm remembering the video of Hank Gathers collapsing on the basketball court when he played for Loyola Marymount. Of course, he didn't make it. He passed away. And to this day, I still, you know, my shoulders kind of shudder and I get chills thinking about watching that video because you know what happened to the guy. So the people tweeting about how terrible it was to be watching this and the scene in the stadium and then how the telecast was handling it, what they were doing and all that stuff. I didn't realize they were showing the wife on television.
Yeah,
I don't think you needed to do that, quite honestly. Having not seen the video, I'm not sure, but I would say I would not have done that. I would have probably tried. I don't know. I don't know how soon you cut away from the stadium, how soon you tell the announcers we're just going to go back to the studio because you don't want to see video of them working on this guy on the field. I don't know. As I said, I was thinking the term of the field. What do you call it? It's on pitch. On the pitch.
And I said,
I think as a director or someone in ESPN, I probably would have gone away from the stadium as soon as possible and gotten people in the studio.
Quick clarification on that. ESPN doesn't have a choice.
Oh, that's right. It's a world feed. That's right. You're right. Thank you for correcting.
UEFA has the feed, and the only thing they can do is cut to the studio.
Right.
If they decide that it's time to cut to the studio, and if nobody's in the studio, they can't exactly.
Yeah, they would have to scramble their guys, people, and probably get them on the set as soon as possible. Yeah.
So I guess one of the questions for, you know, anybody could ask themselves or, you know, ESPN or the UEFA feed, I should say, is, you know, what's newsworthy and what's not. I'm now remembering the guy who died on the luge in the Vancouver Olympics. Remember that? I'm pretty sure it was Vancouver.
Yes, you're right.
Yes. Before the opening ceremony, there was a from Georgia. He died on the luge.
The country, and Georgia, not the state.
Yeah, not the state.
Yes, right. not the state, the country. And Nodar, I don't want to butcher his last name. Anyway, he dies, and it was not the kind of thing. I don't know if that was being broadcast live or not. It was a training run of luge in the 2010 Winter Olympics. And I did see that video later that day on NBC.
Yeah.
And whatever the anniversary of that is, I don't remember the day, but I have seen that come up in my Facebook memories where that day I said, how could NBC,
how
do you show that?
Yeah, I wouldn't show that.
Like, to me, it's a little different. You know, there are a lot of issues that kind of come up with that kind of thing. You're watching something obviously very serious, very dangerous. With the luge, I mean, it was a crash. And you know, rubbernecking, looking at crashes, that's different. Sure. Christian Eriksen, he just falls over. It's not exactly like it becomes difficult to watch when you understand what's happening there.
Right.
And I think, you know, when I heard what was going on with Eriksen, I did want to see, like, oh, what happened? You know, I don't think that makes me any sort of
bad
person.
You know what?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I got a point to make about this. Yeah.
I just did. I thought, oh, I hope he's okay. What happened? I know they say, like, this video's graphic. There are certain videos that are graphic, and there are certain videos that just suggest something really bad.
Mm-hmm.
When Kevin Ware shattered his leg.
Oh, I still haven't watched that.
Me either.
Yep.
Knock on wood.
Yep.
When Christian Eriksen falls over, I did see that.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife then wanted to see it. And I don't know that, you know, you see everybody saying ESPN should cut away, you shouldn't show the video, you don't have to retweet it. And I agree with all of that. But I also think that it, you know, it's not like some sort of glorification of a death to have wanted to know what happened to the man.
I think it's right. It's more about what's the TV responsibility in the aftermath. Actually, what I'm thinking of right now, what just popped into my head as you're talking about this, was Roman Grosjean last year.
Yeah.
I mean, a horrific crash. We're watching the F1 race. The guy at the very beginning of the race slams, and there is a ball of fire. And my first reaction is, I just saw someone die live on my television set. I mean, I'm thinking, there's no way. He can't survive this. His car is literally in flames. And then all of a sudden, this figure emerges from the car, hops on the guardrail, and he survives. He's fine. He's actually racing, I think, on the IndyCar circuit this year. And there, the discussion would ensue after that. I mean, okay, and they stayed with the pilot. I don't even know if I don't know if Sky Sports even has a studio show or what they would have done, but they stayed for, 45 minutes to an hour, I think, before the restart at the track. And their announcers had to fill the entire time. Now, they showed the replay numerous times. And as they were finding different angles, they were showing the replay again and again. And they got under, and you know, there was debate about how much you do in Drive to Survive about the Grosjean crash. I mean, they sat he and his wife down to have them talk about it. And this is a little bit different because I don't want to make this sound unfeeling, but the video is unbelievable. I mean, there's a crash and a ball of flames and a human being literally emerging from all of this fire. So it's incredible video to watch. And man, I don't know, maybe some of it is, you know, you don't necessarily show it unless you find out, hey, Ericsson gave a thumbs up leaving the stadium, right? Wasn't there a report later that he was responsive? He gave a thumbs up to the crowd. He seemed, which was really good. Maybe you don't show it unless, you know, like the guy survives this and it's as scary as it is. He ends up going to the hospital. They save him and he's going to be okay. And they actually come back and finish the match, the game. I thought it made me think about F1, and I didn't turn the channel. I wasn't staying and watching it because I wanted to see the replay six times. I was listening to them talk about how the car is safe and how someone was able to emerge from a crash like that and all these other things, which I found rather interesting. But yeah, there's always that debate. I definitely, if I had control of the world feed, I probably would have tried to get out as soon as I could as they were working on him and the players did the whole human shield thing. There's no way. I'd like to believe I wouldn't have shown the reaction of his wife because I just think that's...
That for sure.
That's just... I don't know how to phrase it, but it's not taking advantage of the situation, but you just don't need to do that. There's a privacy factor here.
Jim tweets in, and I think this is a fair point. I mean, there's a lot of things to say about all this. He says, it's different when it happens in real time during a broadcasted event like Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah,
I think it turns bad when they show the video of a death for the first time during a later report.
Yeah.
Right, like it happened at 1 in the afternoon. Here it is on the 6 o'clock news, and it's, hey, watch this. Like that's different because, and I guess Jim's
point. Well, it is a story, though. That is a news story.
I don't think
you can ignore the video because it is a good debate.
But Jim's point gets to the difference for me between the Georgian loser where that was later in the day. I'd already known about it, and they showed it again, and they warned you, but... And again, that is much more, whatever you want to say, graphic or difficult to watch than just a man stumbling and falling over. So maybe it's just the nature of the actual thing.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't want anyone to continue showing that for like, check this out.
Yeah.
Because that's when it feels like it's getting to be, you know, you're just doing it for clicks, as people might say now. But you're right. It's a news event. And Christian Eriksen, while we're having this conversation, this is not just some player, not that anybody's life is more important, but this is not some player that nobody has heard of.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just a random person where, hey, this happened today, check it out. Christian Eriksen is an international star. He played for Tottenham for a long time. He's with Inter Milan now. I mean, he's a player. He's someone that when I hear the name Christian Eriksen, I say this like – knowing how ridiculous it sounds, but like I know what he looks like. He's a soccer player.
I think that is part of it. If you can actually envision you like the face of this human being when they're on the field, I think the familiarity does also add to the story here.
If Christian Eriksen,
he's just a name to me on Twitter.
It didn't,
I don't know who he is.
If he walked down Hurdle Avenue, I would be like, "That's Christian Eriksen."
Yeah.
I could pick him out.
Right.
So I don't know if that makes it more real, if you know someone as opposed to like it's just a person, it's a name, you care about them, you want them to, of course, make it, versus, you know, you have watched this person before.
I think it does factor. I think it matters. I think Dale Earnhardt is that story. Again, not that one human life is more or less important than another human life, but when Dale Earnhardt picked I don't know who would, you know what I'm saying? If it was just another racer that day at Daytona going into the wall, it would still be a terrible story. You don't want to see that happen to anybody, but it was Dale Earnhardt. Yeah. And, you know his face. You can hear his voice. You know his story. You know all about him, whether you liked him, whether you didn't like him. You don't have to. I wasn't a big racing fan, but I know who Dale Earnhardt was. Everybody knows he was that famous. I think that adds to the story. Now, again, you know, and I think and that night on the news after they announced that Dale, you know, we lost Dale Earnhardt, or whatever the phrase was from the president of NASCAR at that point, you show the accident on the news because it is a massive story. It one of the most famous drivers in the history of the sport was killed in a car accident. I don't know that you don't show the video, or maybe even just, we're not going to show you the video, but we have a photo, you know, like someone took a picture of the car and you show. It is a news story, so I think you do have to show it, but it's a question of how much, how often. And as I said, I think live, there would be no need to show a family member. You have to document the story. What just happened? Why did the match stop? What seems to be going on? But I think beyond that, you get into, you know, areas of, well, you know, there's no need to do that. Let's respect the privacy of friends and family who are panicking on the field waiting to see what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
And they come back and play the game, finish the game, right? Later in the day?
Yes, yes.
Amazing.
Which, I mean, that, you know, it's always tough. That's another conversation for athletes, whatever it is. I mean, you could talk about this at any job. Sometimes you are expected to go back to your job when something has happened that would excuse you from ever being emotionally or mentally checked into it.
Right.
I always think of this. You know, he didn't die, but when Anquan Boldin got crushed in a game in New York against the Jets, and, I mean, the game was delayed for 30 minutes, and it was a meaningless play to the end zone as the Cardinals were trying to score points to make it look better. They're getting blown out by the Jets.
Right.
Yes, that's right, the Jets were beating somebody. and, you know, Boldin gets taken off the field. He had facial fractures, and then out come the Cardinals again to throw another pass half hour later. I think, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
This game is over.
Right.
And, you know, here, of course, is a really important game in a tournament. And, yeah, it's just it's tough to think about that kind of stuff. Another texter writes in, I thought Ryan Newman died on my TV. That was another
big crash. I wasn't
watching
that live, but that was a terrible
crash.
That's
right.
Yeah.
That was one where it was a lot like the Ericsson thing. The difference is if you're showing a spectacular crash, that's –
you're also not seeing the actual person in the car.
That's right. You're just
seeing
a car.
You saw Erickson collapse. You saw Hank Gathers fall down on the court.
Yeah.
Even the Earnhardt crash, you don't see him ever. You just see, and again, I'm not trying to minimize the significance of the moment, but you see car go into wall. You don't see the driver. There's no, I don't even know if there was an in-car camera that they would have used, but you just see the crash, but you don't see Earnhardt and what's happening, or Ryan Newman. In the Grosjean situation, you didn't see him until he emerges from the ball of fire, you know? So it is a little bit, I think it is a little bit different when you actually see this person collapse on the field.
The Ryan Newman crash. Thank you to the texter that sent that in. That's the Daytona 500 last year. And the still photo of that, as I just Googled it, is his car airborne.
Wow.
And then on its roof, sliding with flames and everything. And now that the texter brings that up, I can remember the hope he's okay, what's going to happen, and waiting for an update for 10 minutes, 20 minutes to get the same way it went with Erickson.
Yeah.
That you're like, is he okay? Just somebody say he's okay, because I just saw that and it was pretty intense.
Yeah.
Another texter, Malarchuk and Zednik. Both, right. Of course.
Of course, yeah. Malarchuk, I was not here in town for. Zednik, I was watching on TV.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the arena, but I was watching, and that was just
horrifying.
So disturbing. Yeah, it was really sickening to watch that.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I mean, I don't, you know, to an extent, Kevin Everett.
Yeah.
We had no idea what the heck was going on other than they were working furiously on the field with him and bring out the ambulance and all that stuff. I wasn't at the game that day. I think I would have been home watching it on TV. But yeah, it was. I don't know who tweeted it first, but as I said, I was playing catch up on Twitter. I wasn't near the screen when somebody tweeted out that he's apparently okay, or you know, he's responsive and all that stuff. It was just a huge, huge sigh of relief. And then I actually did see video. Someone tweeted out when they were resuming the game, the video of warmups and the guys on the team jogging, and you know, a couple guys are in tears. They're trying to be there and support each other. I thought, how the heck do you I know the significance of the tournament and everything, but man, how do you concentrate? I don't know how you concentrate on playing the game, even though at that point you knew he was okay, he was in the hospital, and he was going to be fine. He was stabilized by that point. Still difficult to actually think about playing a game.
Yeah. Another tweet from Rob. I'm not sure if it's a joke, but you know, it kind of brings up an offshoot of this conversation. He says, I saw RJ Umberger die on
man,
my TV,
that,
too.
Yeah, right.
I mean, obviously he didn't, but
yeah.
I do think a lot of people watch those kind of hits differently now than maybe you used to. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, like instead of, you know, I was like, oh, I hope the guy's okay.
You're just turned away like, ugh.
Yeah,
all right.
Like, oh, my goodness, his head did this or that or, you know, right. Yeah, I don't, it's a little bit different now. You know, you always worry about someone being seriously injured when you see hits like that.
Yeah. Well, good for Christian Eriksen that he's appears to be doing okay.
Yeah. And good work. I guess I was reading the story about how one of his teammates, maybe the captain of the team, like right away jumped in and made sure first he didn't swallow his tongue. And I guess, I don't know if he like put him on his side or something like that. He did something initially before the medical staff were able to get out there and they brought out the defibrillator and all that. His initial work like helped save the guy's life until the people came out there and were able to address the heart situation. And then, of course, they took him to the hospital. So yeoman's work obviously done by someone in split second time doing what he could to save his teammate. It is a Monday morning, and we've got a lot to get to. Hope you had a nice weekend. Hope you're ready to talk about a whole bunch of different sports stories with us this morning. We will talk some Bills football today. They are going to have their three-day mandatory minicamp. No more voluntary OTAs. This is now a three-day mandatory minicamp. You are supposed to be there. That's going to start tomorrow. Sal will be with us at 7 o'clock. The Jays still finishing up their series in Boston, and then they'll be back here in Buffalo to open up a big series with the Yankees at Salem Field. The Jays are doing well. The Yankees are plummeting at this point. Ben
By
Wagner.
Doing well, you mean mashing taters all day, every day, like they did in 2015?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just hitting bombs relentlessly.
Hit eight home runs in yesterday's game. In one game. Ben Wagner is going to join us, talk a little bit of the Jays. And actually, we'll talk about the college football playoffs because this week we might find out that they are going to 12 teams in the college football playoffs. So we'll talk with Brett McMurphy from the Stadium Network coming up 9:30. Phone lines are open. You can join us in whatever we're talking about, add an opinion, bring up a question. If there's something else you want to get to that we are not discussing at said moment, that's fine. You can always bring up something else as well. Huh. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Some Sky Sports tweeted something out about Roman Grosjean and a burning car, and I thought, what? Apparently at the Detroit Grand Prix, he rushed back to his burning car with a fire extinguisher. But poor guy. Oh, my Lord. Anyway, yes, 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. And don't forget, we're playing all this week our National Win Cash Contest. We'll have code words for you around 7:30. 725, you know, in that area, 825, 925, and give you more chances to win $1,000 from WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It across Pulock with a shot steered away by Vasilevsky. Jordan Eberle trying to get it away from the feet of Pulock. Here's Pulock, tees it up, scores! Ryan Pulock with a drive that may have changed direction on its way through. That's his.
So the Islanders take game one, Yahoo, of their series with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And again, we'll see Montreal Vegas tonight, which most people think will be
a steamrolling.
Yeah, I would say a Vegas party. You know, we'll see if that happens, if Carey Price maybe can be the equalizer for the Canadiens, because I don't know that anybody will tell you that the Canadiens are as good a team as Vegas is top to bottom on the roster.
So the Islanders played Pittsburgh in the first round, right?
Yeah.
How many games? Is that seven games?
No.
Six?
Six, I think.
Six games. And then they beat who in the Boston in the second round?
Yes. Why are you asking me? It's Monday, because, man. It's early.
Because I saw what I think is a very good point, good tweet from Adam Gretz, who covers the Penguins, about Matthew Barzal. He wrote, remember when Matthew Barzal did not score a goal in seven games to open the playoffs and then scored four and five? He says, if the Islanders had, for whatever reason, lost in the first round, Barzal would have been the off-season focus of criticism. But because they kept winning, he kept getting chances to make plays, and now he'll be clutch.
Was he benched at one point in the Pittsburgh series? I thought there was.
I don't know, but he didn't score a goal. They won it without him scoring a goal.
I'll look it up. Maybe not. I thought maybe at some point he might have been
and
like a healthy.
They probably
scratch.
Don't win that series if Pittsburgh has any goaltending. But
right,
here they are.
Jerry was not. Tristan Jarry was not so good between the pipes for them. And yeah, so I think the Islanders, you know. They're not the sexiest team to watch, but you know they've done a fantastic job between Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz and everything they've been doing for that franchise. They've done a great job. They've resuscitated the fan base. The games at the Coliseum have become a fantastic atmosphere. Now, of course, yesterday was in Tampa. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather see Tampa win because I just think they'd be more fun to watch in a Stanley Cup final, especially if Vegas gets through. If Vegas gets through and they play the Islanders, I think we're going to be hearing more about, you know, the Islanders and their team defense and low event. And, you know, you're not going to want to run, you know, they're not going to want to get into a run and gun with Vegas and all that. And I'd much rather see a Vegas-Tampa final. I think it would just be fun to watch as a fan of the sport.
Yeah, the Islanders are all about puck possession, but not exactly the same way that other teams are, but... Yeah, I saw a quote from Barry Trotz about what they do and what they did well. And I would say about the Islanders, you know, we every once in a while we'll talk about the model. I don't necessarily want the Sabres to become the Islanders in the way that they play. But if you were to ask a bunch of Sabres fans, like, what's a franchise that you think figured something out and turned it around? The Islanders would be at the top of the list, right? Lamoriello, Barry Trotz. Mm-hmm. Let's go get two guys that are really good, win everywhere they go, and see how that goes. Oh, we're winning now.
And by the way, the Islanders, you know, a few years ago, let their franchise number one overall pick driving force off at walk. I mean, he's a fantastic hockey player. And when Tavares left, I would think, you know, as an Islander fan, you might have thought, this isn't very good. So he ends up in Toronto, and the Islanders are doing just fine without him. By the way, I'm not saying that as a don't worry if they trade Eichel thing, but they, you know, they let Tavares go, and franchise is doing just fine.
Yeah. He was 28 when he left for the Leafs.
And he's really, really good.
And he's still good.
Yeah, he's still very good, actually. I mean, him being injured in the first series, who knows? Maybe they beat Montreal if Tavares isn't knocked out in the first game. Who knows? But it's worth thinking about. If you're thinking about where the Sabres are at, the Islanders, in theory, did lose their best player. What did you say, 28? So three, 4 years older than Eichel is. But they did lose their best player, and they built a really good hockey team from top to bottom. You know, depth of scoring, balance on offense, defensemen. It feels like with the Islanders, you can just plug a goalie in every season. It doesn't really matter who it is. And they'll have, a 2-point-something goals against average and a strong save percentage because they're just so well defensively in front of the goaltender there. It doesn't really matter who's in the net to some extent when you play the Islanders. So anyway, go Tampa. I really don't need to see the Islanders move on to the Stanley Cup final. I'm all about the entertainment factor, and I just think Tampa would be, with their stars, would be much more fun to watch.
But if you're thinking about the two teams, who are the Sabres, I want to say more likely.
How can you be closer to?
How can you be good? Is it, what's Tampa's format? I mean, Tampa had Yzerman as their GM for a long time before he left, and you know, they have drafted and developed incredible players. Mm-hmm. They have some at the top, of course. You know, they got Stamkos and Hedman and at the top, and even
Kucherov.
No, Jonathan Drouin.
Oh, the top of the draft. I thought you meant the top of the roster. I thought you meant top.
No, top of the roster. They've got guys like Braden Point. Mm-hmm. They consistently benefit from the fact that teams don't poach other rosters with offer sheets. I mean that, not even snark. Like, really, other teams just let Tampa continue to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've done it a number of years. They're
and they invested big in a goalie too. Like they felt it was important to. Well, they ditched a big goalie contract and then got another goalie that they invested.
Yeah, and he's the best or one of the best. I mean, we talked to Marty last week and he said Vasilevsky's the best. So I think Marty said that. Well, whatever, he's one of the best. It's not, you know, just some high price goalie. I mean, he does the job too. So, you know, Tampa is really good. If you think about their last couple seasons, you know, it's tougher. It's tough to fight off randomness in hockey because there's so much in the playoffs that kind of go, you know, goaltending can sink you, or injuries. There's a lot of injuries. They don't call penalties, so a lot of things do change. But the Tampa Bay Lightning last 5-6 seasons, it's, you can't say dynasty unless you win the actual trophy. But here are their last 5-6 seasons in Tampa. Of course, they did win the Cup last year, right? They're still in it this year. The year before, they had the first-round exit to the Blue Jackets. But other than that, I mean, I don't know, I guess they also missed the playoffs once in here. They have two seven-game conference final losses, a Stanley Cup final loss, a playoff miss, and a first-round exit.
They're a little bit all over the map there, huh?
But you have 1, 2, 3, 4. This is their fifth time in 7 years in the conference finals. Hmm. The other two are a first-round exit and a playoff miss.
Yeah, that's consistency. Well, I mean, there's a certain NHL franchise out in Vegas that, you know,
starting to look like the model of consistency.
Third time in 4 years they've gotten to this round, right? And could and they be in the beaten, final twice.
Brayton, who'd they lose to last year? Was it the Sharks on that crazy power play sequence?
Who was this again?
Vegas.
Vegas last year.
Was that two years ago?
2 years ago.
Okay. All the
last
crazy
year
penalties
they lost
and everything.
To the Dallas Stars in the conference final in 5 games.
Gotcha. Yeah. Which, does that happen if they get home games? I mean, Vegas seems to have one of the best kind of atmospheres for, you know, playing at home.
You know, it's funny. I don't think I've seen a Vegas home game all season. Are they still doing the whole big show they do before
they're
the game?
They're back. Oh, yeah.
With the stuff on the ice, like, and, you know, opponent-specific and all that stuff?
It's, I don't know about that, but the crowds are back.
Oh, I love their shows.
Speaking of crowds being back, between, I don't know if you saw highlights of Wrigley Field yesterday.
No, I heard about a massive
the cup
beer
snake
or cup snake, whatever. Yeah,
we were watching a little bit last night, and Molly's asking me, like, "What? So, what's the story with the cup snake?" I'm like, "Oh, well, you know, the bleacher creatures, is that what they call them out there? The people that sit in the bleachers?
Or they, is that the Yankees fans? I forget. Go ahead.
I'm not sure. Yeah. You drink beers and you put your cups together. Sometimes they confiscate them. Last night they did not, because last night's cup snake at Wrigley was a monster.
They did one of those snakes the night we were at, Jonathan and I were at the Bisons game, or excuse me, the Blue Jays game. This thing was the size of the state of Illinois. Like, I think it was so long they couldn't get it in the entire picture. It was covering at least, what, 4 or 5 rows, if not longer? The still frame that I saw, the picture of the snake. Hey, when we get back, I got a nominee for Stat of the Year.
Ooh.
It's not a new stat. It's been around for a long time. But did we overlook it? So we'll do that in a moment. 803-0550 to join us. Happy Monday. Thanks for hanging out with us here on WGR.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Rebound collected by Bridges. Foul on Jokic. Down goes Kane in a crush. The face, and here we go. Cameron Payne is still down. Here's the foul here in the swipe. We got all ball. I'm sure they'll look at this.
Yesterday in the NBA, actually, hang on. I'm going to give you a Stat of the Year nominee, which is brought to you by our Stat of the Day, Stat of the Year nominees. Of course, brought to you by Cows of Buffalo. Get moving. Excuse me. It's Monday. Get moving. With Cows of Buffalo, container on wheels, mobile storage, rent to cow today, 592-3343. So that was yesterday, Denver and Phoenix. Nikola Jokic, by the way, got thrown out of the game, and Denver ended up losing to Phoenix.
Good to hear Kevin Harlan's voice, by the way.
Kevin, the former. I got no former references. So the Nuggets were trailing the series 3-0, and they lost, and they were eliminated yesterday. This Stat of the Year nominee for me is something that it's not new, as I mentioned. NBA teams are now, when they trail in a series 3-0, NBA teams are now 0-143 in that series. The NBA, according to Wikipedia, is the only major North American sport where a 7-game playoff series, no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. It has happened in baseball. Actually, you could think about the Yankees and the Red Sox. It has happened in hockey a few times over the years. So I'm going to make that, but it's never happened in the NBA. You get to 3-0, you win the series. Period. Done. Stat of the Year?
No, not even close.
It's never happened.
You tweeted out a better Stat of the Year this weekend.
Oh, I'm holding on to that stuff. I could do a whole segment on DeGrom stats.
The DeGrom stat is worthy of Stat of the Year.
Well, I thought maybe my Mets bias might shine through on that.
Jacob DeGrom drove in his 5th run of the season on Friday. He's only given up 4.
That's pretty good, huh? You like that one?
Well, then a pitcher's plus minus, he's a plus 1?
Yeah.
That's like if a goalie had... Yeah, Linus Allmark only gave up 1 goal this year. He scored 2. Like, that's... Jacob DeGrom has more runs batted in than runs given up?
I thought it would be better maybe to take myself out of a Mets Stat of the Year discussion. So I would let you and Brayton discuss it.
I will honor your recusal and say I think that's the Stat of the Year right now.
Yeah, Jonathan was at the game. This would have been Friday night. He's at the game. I'm out at Batavia Downs at a concert series. So I'm checking my phone, but I'm trying not to do it too much because what the hell am I there watching a concert for if I'm looking at the phone? So he actually texts me that when DeGrom drives in 2 runs with a 2-run single, runners on second and third. Big hit, actually. He texts me that. I'm like, it can't be right. I actually went into his stat line to go, he's only given up 4 earned runs in 10 starts? I thought, earned runs, not total runs. I think he's given up maybe 7 runs. And I thought, that's impossible. All right, so I'm glad you felt that way.
Yes.
I would sign off on that, but again, I'm a little too close to the discussion, but this is June. We're not talking about, through the first 2 starts in April. Hey, a pitcher drove it. Yeah, he's got 5 more runs batted in than earned runs given up, and we're in mid-June, actually.
Yeah. There's one more stat we can toss in here. Ed tweeted one at me about Patrick Mahomes, and this is another, I guess, nominee for Stat of the Year. Brayton, if you want to chime in with what's our current Stat of the Year is...
The current Stat of the Year is Where's my stat of the year sheet in here?
It's over. I've got one here, but it's too far. I can't read it.
I think it's the Patrick Marleau
stat. I'll be right back. I got to take off my headphones. Don't say anything about me on the show.
Patrick Marleau's played against like 28% of the
NHL.
It's
37%.
Well, that's a lot. 37%.
Yeah,
okay.
It is a lot.
So,
okay, I got it.
All right.
Hold on.
Patrick Marleau's played against 37% of the NHL players.
Did you guys say
ever.
How much you love working with me when I was gone?
The whole time, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You just read the Marleau stat?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, so that is from
that's the reigning.
April.
What is it? It was 37%?
37%. At least one game with 37% of every NHL player who's played in the 104-year history of the league, 3,009 out of 8,100.
Okay. That's the reigning stat. There are two challengers today. One, your DeGrom stat, and the other that Ed sent in. That 7 years ago this week, the Tigers drafted Patrick Mahomes.
Huh.
It was the 37th round or something of that baseball draft. He was drafted as by the Tigers, meaning the Tigers have drafted more Super Bowl starting quarterbacks than the Lions.
That's a great stat.
Wait, I need to hear that again.
That's
I'm sorry.
A great stat. You remember, you know, can we just say congratulations to the Lions becoming the first, I believe, repeat team in our stat of the year category? Didn't they? What was the crazy one about coaches and quarterbacks? Remember, there was something about the Lions.
They've never had a coach that was fired get hired again.
That's it.
Yes.
The Lions, I believe, are the first team to repeat in stat of the year.
Yeah, they've never had a head coach get fired and get another coaching job.
So repeat the one for Brayton on the.
So Brayton, the Tigers, the Detroit Tigers drafted Patrick Mahomes 7 years ago.
Yep.
And that means that the Tigers have drafted more Super Bowl starting quarterbacks than the Lions ever have.
I love the DeGrom stat, but I think that's a better stat.
I think DeGrom.
That's so great.
That's a funny note.
You think DeGrom's better?
We're going for accomplishments. No.
Yeah. DeGrom's better.
DeGrom's better?
Yeah. Oh, I think DeGrom is the stat of the year right now.
I take back all the nasty things I've tweeted about both of you over the
years.
All
right, now I got to update that stat.
I'll write it in on our sheet here, too. So
and, by the way, now there's pressure on DeGrom. You give up a couple of runs, I'll take that stat right off the board.
You know, it's I did that thing that I think we all do when you want to go see a certain pitcher. I got on the Mets schedule over the weekend and started going, okay, days of rest, DeGrom, when I'm going to be at the okay, right. He's off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, pitches Friday. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, pitches Wednesday. And he's, I think, projected to pitch one of the two games against Milwaukee when I'm
going
to be in town.
So if when you're at the game at Citi Field, and you'll have to let me know if this is kind of like Sabres fans used to sit in the end where Dom was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the shoot twice end.
Right.
Will
right.
you go up to go to the bathroom when the Mets are hitting?
Yes. Absolutely.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. This is when the Mets, when DeGrom pitches, I root for the Mets to score, but bat as quickly as humanly possible so DeGrom can get back out on the mound.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. You wouldn't be like, oh, the Mets went down 1-2-3. That's all right. DeGrom's coming back out. Hey, we'll get a break in because we're late. Sal's at home going, yeah, this is standard operating procedure. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888. By the way, we'll revisit the DeGrom discussion later in the show. And we will talk Bills because the mandatory minicamp starts tomorrow. So Sal's going to have the latest on them when we get back on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.